What are you scared of? Is it spiders? Is it heights? Is it fear of the dark? Is it going to the dentist? Or is it deeper than that? Fear of failure? Fear of dying? Fear of living? Fear of not having enough? Fear of having too much? I'm asking you about being scared, because that's how the disciples felt after the crucifixion and death of Jesus. Imagine yourself in that very room. The fear is palpable. Let's be honest, the disciples had seen what had happened to Jesus, and their thoughts must have been, they're coming for us next. Notice three things about the reading. The doors were locked. The disciples were frightened. And Jesus comes and stands in their midst. These facts can help us understand how Jesus deals with us today. The disciples had locked the door. Who could blame them? This is what happens to us when we get scared and we batten down the hatches. But this story shows us that Jesus can still reach us. You know, there is a door, but he doesn't need it. When the disciples were least expecting him, Jesus is suddenly there. They weren't even looking for him. He turned up out of the blue. Even when we feel no one can help us, he comes to find us. Locked doors are no problem to him. He will find you and bring you his peace. Locked doors, locked hearts, locked churches are no problem for him. Jesus offers you his peace. Well, look at this. Jesus, on his first day of resurrection, he shows us that his heart is for those who follow him. If he had a to-do list, the disciples were right at the top. The first thing he says is, "Peace be to you." Before he says or does anything else, it's peace. Peace first. I was reading a discussion this week. It was online, and people were suggesting that when Jesus said, "Peace be with you," it was just a cliche. Now, a cliche is something we say to make ourselves feel better. Someone is in front of us. They're telling us that the bottom has just dropped out of their life. Something dreadful has happened. And our response might be, well, it could be worse. That is a cliche. Everything will work out in the end. There's another one. Time heals. That's another one. Everything happens for a reason. It's a superficial and inappropriate response given in the circumstances. And if you've been on the receiving end of any of these cliches, you'll know exactly what I mean. There's an element of truth in them, but it's not really a Christian response. Christianity is not about some airy-fairy philosophy or idea based on wishful thinking, but it's based on the death and resurrection of Christ. What Jesus offers is real and genuine. It's a genuine offer of peace based on what he did on the cross. In Luke's gospel, he invites the disciples to look at his hands, touch me and see. It's not a cliche, because the peace that he offers, he paid for. When he points to the wounds, he's saying this peace is available only through the cross. If you're a Christian, you have this peace. It's sure, it's certain and unchanging because of Jesus. It's the wounds that give us the assurance that his peace is real, and it's proof that he can deliver what he promised. Only Jesus can bring peace to a troubled heart. Only Jesus can relieve a guilty conscience. Only Jesus can heal a crushing sense of failure. And all that and more was in the room on that first Easter day, that first resurrection day. He was speaking to a bunch of people who really needed it. And he is still speaking. But what I find is it's hard to hang on to this peace. And it can change in a day. Every day, every morning, every hour, we can be thrown from peace into turmoil. Someone put it like this: one moment we're being carried into a harbour of peace on a wave of grace. But after a painful phone call, we might find we're in a storm, tossed about and out of sight of land. I want to tell you this morning about somebody that I knew. Her name was Pam. And she had a job. And that job was working at a factory where they made wheelchairs, electric wheelchairs. And her job was to assemble the circuits that went into these wheelchairs. One day they called the workers in and they said, "We've got to lay some of you off." Pam was really concerned. She needed that job. She really needed it. To decide how they were going to do it, they offered to give them a test. And the test was to assemble one of these circuits in the given time. She failed the test. And she turned up at church on Sunday and she asked for prayer. And what she told me was that there was going to be another opportunity to take the test. So we prayed about it and off she went. I didn't hear anything. But the next week at church, she was there. And I said to her, "Pam, you know, how did it go? What happened?" And she said, "Well, I failed the test again. But they said that they'd been so impressed at the way I'd responded when they told me I might lose my job, that they're keeping me on." It was that peace of Christ ruling in her heart that came through, despite the news that she might lose her job. And you know what? They were always laying people off at that place. But she kept her job right to the end, right till she retired. Now, everyone experiences fear, but it's about not letting that fear dominate our lives. The peace of Christ transcends all understanding, and I learnt that from Pam. It's not based on reason, it's not based on logical thought, it's a supernatural thing. It's when our faith breaks in and Christ brings us his peace. It's more like, "Well, I shouldn't be really feeling peaceful, but I am." Jesus doesn't airlift us out of all our difficulties. He gives us peace and helps us through our struggles. When we receive this peace, we don't have to be bullied by fear. And in closing, he gives us peace for a purpose. He says, "As the Father has sent me, so am I sending you. I wonder what it looks like for Jesus to be sending you with his peace out into the world this week. Please engage with the questions now and have a chat. Don't work through them, I was going to say religiously, but any order you like, whatever grabs you, please take part. Thank you.